The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
We welcome you to the podcast. Please let us know where you're joining us from, and we would like to acknowledge that you are new. Let us know that this is your first time that you are viewing today on our program. If you're watching by YouTube, again, if you're new, let us know in the comment section below where you're joining us from and that you are indeed new. So today I'm going to talk about an interesting topic. I'm going to be talking about why we are commanded to not allow this leaven into our homes. That's going to be the title of our particular topic today, our message. I've got a few scriptures I'm going to read. These are very familiar passages. In fact, again, if you guys have been keeping up with this over the last couple of weeks, we've kind of been on this same theme of these scriptures that we've dealt with here. Galatians 1:6-9, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. He said, "I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." Again, that is Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. He reiterates this in 2 Corinthians 11:4. He said, If he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, and he's talking about him and the apostles, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Now, that's from the New King James. I want to read that 2 Corinthians 11:4. I want to read that again from the New Living Translation. Same scripture, going to bring it out, different wording. Here's what it says. "You happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you received." That's very powerful there. "Or a different kind of gospel than the one that you believed." That's 2 Corinthians 11:4, New Living Translation. Now, I want to go to the book of 2 John chapter 10. There's only one chapter, 2 John chapter 10, verse 11. Here, John writes something very interesting, and this is what he said. "If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor even greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds." Now, I'm going to read one more verse of scripture, and then I'm going to share with you the two major false doctrines that come knocking at your door. And everyone listening today or watching today, you have the likelihood of these two major false religions has come to your doorsteps, and you may have unknowingly, out of ignorance, probably could have let them into your home, let them into your family, sit on your couch or sit at your kitchen table or stand in your hallway or your foyer or whatever the case may be, and spew false doctrine. And it's interesting that John says, if anyone brings a different doctrine than what we have preached to you, don't let him into your home. In doing so, you partake of their evil. Now, if you go to the book of Matthew chapter 16, listen to this passage of scripture. This is Matthew 16:5-12. "Now, when the disciples of Christ had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we've taken no bread? But Jesus, being aware of their thoughts, said unto them, oh, you have little faith. Why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to you to beware, listen to this, of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? And the Bible says in verse 12, and then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of physical bread, but beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, so according to the laws of interpreting scriptures, when we see the word leaven here, when you read in the New Testament, and it's even mentioned in the Old Testament, when you see the word leaven here, the Bible interprets leaven as doctrine, whether it be good or whether it be bad, because I can show you in scripture where Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a woman who takes a little bit of leaven and puts it into the mix, and it ends up spreading through the entire batter. And the entire thing begins to swell with leaven. It only takes a little bit of leaven to be introduced into something before it becomes great. So again, leaven can represent good and bad. The bottom line is leaven represents doctrine, whether it be true doctrine or whether it be false doctrine. And Jesus told the disciples to beware of the leaven or the doctrine of the Pharisees. So today, in accordance to what John spoke of here in 2 John 10, I want to touch base on two major servings of leaven that has come to your door. These people have brought to your house leaven, and unknowingly or unwillingly, you have probably at one time or another have let them come with their leaven and has spread their leaven in your home. So the first one that I want to talk about is Jehovah Witnesses. Now, Jehovah Witnesses got their beginning, or they started in 1870 by a man by the name of Charles Taze Russell. He began leading Bible studies in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and out of this became a movement called the Bible Student Movement, which was also founded by Taze when Taze began disputing some of the traditional views. Now, when we say traditional views, we're talking about sound doctrine of Christianity. And out of this was the birth of Jehovah Witnesses. Consequently enough, I want to read a little bit more of this. The group was originally called the Watchtower Society because its founder published a magazine called Zion's Watchtower and Herald of Christ's Presence. Jehovah Witnesses use a Bible translation. Now look at me, that guys, you watching by visual. Bible translation. Don't even get me on my rant on Bible translations. We don't need another translation of the Bible. We've got so many translations, and the year after year, the translations get more and more watered down, and more truth is taken out, and more progressiveness, humanism, New Age, and false doctrine is being added to the leaven. Okay, so again, here we see this Bible translation that was introduced or was created called the New World Translation. Before this translation was released specifically by and for Jehovah Witnesses, most of them relied on the King James Version. The New World Translation of the Bible is Jehovah Witnesses' own translation. I want to say it again. It's their own translation. No other religious groups uses this Bible, and Jehovah Witnesses make very little use of other Bibles. Okay? So again, how many people, I'm guarantee you, if all of you guys were sitting here among me, and I said, how many has ever had Jehovah Witness come to your door and they give you a copy of the quote Watchtower, a pamphlet? You would all raise your hands. This is what we're talking about here. Now, I'm not going to deal with every one of these, but I want to share with you some of their core beliefs in light of sound doctrine of the Holy Word of God. Ready? Their view on Jesus Christ. Jehovah Witnesses believe that Jesus, listen, you got to listen real carefully, was created by Jehovah as the archangel Michael before the physical world existed, and is lesser though mighty God. Let me say that again. According to Jehovah Witnesses, Jesus Christ himself was formerly the archangel Michael before the physical world existed, and is a lesser though mighty God. All right, let's talk about this. Jehovah Witnesses believe that when Jesus was born on earth, he was simply a mere human and not God in flesh. Wow. How about John? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. What are you going to do with that? Jehovah Witnesses believe that Jesus was resurrected spiritually from the dead, but not actually physically from the dead. Again, now I could dispute this and show you all the scriptures to dispute this, but I know my audience, and many of you guys are well-versed, and you can do this on your own. What we're doing today is we're simply exposing the leaven, the two major leavens that come knocking, the two major sources of leaven. Again, we've identified what leaven is. It's doctrine, false doctrine that comes knocking at you and I's door. And many times we allow them to come into our homes. Let's talk about the second coming. What do Jehovah Witnesses believe about the second coming of Christ? Jehovah Witnesses believe that the second coming, listen to this, the second coming was an invisible spiritual event that had already occurred, and it happened in 1914. Jehovah Witnesses believe that the Holy Spirit is an impersonal force of God, but is not a distinct person. Again, what are you going to do with scriptures like, when the Spirit of truth, has come, he will not speak of his own accord, but he will speak of that which he's heard, and he shall convict the world of sin. What are you going to do with verses that says that he can be grieved, he can be quenched, he can be vexed? Jehovah Witnesses believe that salvation requires faith in Christ. Association with, but that's not it. We got to read on. It's not just that. Association with God's organization, quote unquote, their religion, and obedience to its rules. Not associated with the church, no association with the Word of God, but association with their religion and their rules. Again, that's the whole point of the Watchtower that they give you. That's their literature. Jehovah Witnesses believe there are two peoples of God. Number one is what they call the anointed class. This is, according to their interpretation, 144,000 Jehovah Witnesses is what they call them. Will live in heaven and rule with Christ, and the other sheep, which are all other believers, will live forever on a paradise earth. So again, only 144,000 will live in heaven and rule with Christ, but the others, you're just going to live on some type of planet that we'll call paradise. Now, there's a whole lot of Jehovah's Witnesses out there. If you ever want to make them nervous, ask them if they're going to be one of the 144,000, because every one of them you ask, oh yes, I'm going to be one of the 144,000. I'm sorry, but according to your own beliefs, there's a lot more of you that ain't going to be living in heaven with Christ, but are going to be downgraded living on a lower class of citizenship. Jehovah Witnesses believe that humans do not have a soul or life force within them. And they claim that at death, that life force completely leaves the body. But their definition of a soul, which is according to is your mind, will, and emotions, their belief on that is totally different. Jehovah's Witnesses believe hell is not a literal place of eternal suffering, but rather the common grave of humankind. Now, what am I talking about today? I'm talking about leaven, dangerous leaven. Now, to the mature believers who are rooted and grounded in the word and rooted and grounded in faith and know the word of God inside and out, they can rightfully divide the word. They can, they know how to divide it here a little, there a little, word line on line, precept on precept. If you know the word and you're a mature believer, then you are not in danger of their leaven spreading in your heart. But listen to me. But if you have young children who are not fully mature and cannot discern what is right and what is evil and good and what is bad and the fullness of Christ, or you have new converts in your family and you allow somebody like this in your home to begin to spread this leaven, it only takes one seed. Listen, let me talk about seed for a second. I moved from up north where I was familiar with cool season grass, which, howbeit my yard, was what we call tall fescue. Another one that was real predominant where I was called KJB or Kentucky or KBG, Kentucky bluegrass. It was a tall season or a cool season grass. And we planted that grass in the fall. But now that I've moved down farther south, now my entire grass type has changed. And now I'm dealing with what is called warm season grass. And in my yard, it's what's called Bermuda grass. Bermuda in the north was considered to be a weed. It was considered to be an aggressive weed because it only takes, listen, I'm still in scripture. I'm still on my message. It only takes a small bit of Bermuda seed to put it in the ground. And because Bermuda grass is so aggressive, it will grow, it will spread rapidly, and it will begin to spread throughout the yard quickly. So it only takes small seeds of false doctrine, howbeit leaven, to get into the batter and begin to spread wildly. And then before you know it, you got people in your own house that don't even believe, come on, what the Bible says. And we wonder why we're losing people. So listen, this message is for the spiritual priest of the home, the man or the woman, depending on your circumstances, whoever your spiritual priest of the home is, you are the gatekeeper. You are responsible for who and what comes in your door. So listen, if you think you're going to step in my home with your false, corrupted, tainted leaven and begin to spread your seeds in my 6-year-old's heart and my 12-year-old. Listen, you can get away with that in my 6-year-old's heart, but you definitely ain't going to get away with that in my 13-year-old. Because my 13-year-old, he's been around me for 13 years, and he's heard the true gospel. And he can distinguish and determine and discern what is corrupted and what is not, what is a fake, what is counterfeit, and what is authentic. I'm telling you, I am very proud of him as a 13-year-old. There is people that's come to him and try to spread false doctrine to him, and he immediately picked up on it. That's why the more you're around, listen, you want to know the best way to distinguish the counterfeit from the authentic? Here's your answer. The more you become accustomed to the authentic, the quicker you're going to distinguish the counterfeit. But listen, bank tellers will tell you that handle money. They say, we don't have to hold the money up to the light and look at the serial numbers and look at all this and that. They said, it even feels different. They said, we have handled the authentic so long and with so much experience that when the few times the counterfeit has tried to step in, we can feel that it is fake and it is the phony and it is not the authentic. Listen, so I don't know who this is for, but if you've got a fear of being duped and falling for the counterfeit, just spend more time in the authentic. Come on. Why do you think Paul said a different spirit? He said, if they preach another Jesus, another gospel, or another spirit. Because some of these false doctrines are so right on, they have so much elements of truth in them that the only way, excuse me, that you can distinguish or determine some of this is by the spirit that you feel. Why do you think John said, try the spirits and see if they be of God? Try the spirits. Listen, I remember many years, I'm going to get to number two. So don't worry. I told you there'd be two major false or corrupted teachings, leaven that come through our doors that every one of us has dealt with. I've dealt with number one was Jehovah's Witness. I'm getting ready to get to number two. But let me tell you a quick story real quick, because it goes right along with what we're talking about. Many years ago, we got invited to a service, and we went to this service and we stepped in. There was no preaching of the word. People were swinging banners back and forth, and there's nothing wrong with banners. I'm not against banners. They were playing instruments, but I noticed that this went on and on and on, and nobody ever got up and preached the word. And all of a sudden, it was like within 10 minutes, I began to get this really weird, awkward feeling. It was so uncomfortable that I was almost squirming to remain in the service. So eventually I told my wife, I said, I need to get out for a minute because something's not right. I need to go and get alone with God and pray and find out what's going on. So I went out to my car. I sat in the car. I opened up my Bible, and I opened up the New Testament. I said, God, there's something wrong. You said to try the spirits. And I was like, there's something just not feeling right with me. I don't know what this is. I need you to show me and identify to me to what's going on. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God led me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, where it says that the Spirit expressly says that in the latter days, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And sure enough, that I knew I had a word from the Lord. I pulled my wife out, and our friend of ours that we had with us, she felt the same way. We all left the service. Listen to me. And lo and behold, we found out a couple months later that the individual who was hosting these meetings was involved with sexual immorality on a high level of it. And he was, listen to me, seducing women and the church. And I'm telling you, no one got up and preached that. I didn't have an angel appear to tell me that. I didn't have a prophet of God to come and tell me. The Holy Spirit revealed it to me. Paul said that If someone comes and preaches another Jesus, another gospel, or another spirit is manifest. He basically, and no, I'm going to use my own, I'm going to kind of use my own vernacular here, but he said, get up and get out. Run. Run from it. Flee from it. Get away from it. Cut it off. No, thank you. So number one, one of the two major false doctrines that are coming, knocking at your door, showing up in your neighborhood, and many has unknowingly let them into their home and sat on their couch. Number one, Jehovah's Witnesses. Ready? Number two is Mormons, or quote-unquote LDS, Latter-day Saints. Now, this is one of the fastest growing leavens in the United States of America. In more than half of the United States, Mormonism is the fastest growing religion. According to their founder, Joseph Smith, they believe the great apostasy occurred between the time of the New Testament church and its, quote, restoration under him. So let me give you a little bit of a history on how this got started. On the night of September 21st, 1823, Joseph Smith was praying and asking God to lead him. According to Joseph Smith's own account, he said that, quote, suddenly a light grew as though the whole house was filled with consuming and quenchable fire. Then a messenger who he says was sent from God, who identified himself as an angel called Moroni, M-O-R-O-N-I. I didn't say macaroni, I said Moroni. According to Smith, this angel appeared to him. And according to Smith's own account, Moroni declared to Joseph Smith that, quote, the time was at hand for the gospel in all its fullness to be preached in power unto all nations, and that Joseph Smith was to be a, quote, instrument in the hands of God. Smith quoted ancient prophets, or according to Smith, this angel quoted ancient prophets. And by the way, guys, the devil can quote scripture. Hello? When Jesus was being tempted 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, Satan came up and he quoted scripture to Yeshua, to the Messiah, to the Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man. He was quoting scripture. It is written. It is written. It is written. But watch this. But it was being contorted. It was being twisted. Listen to this. According to Smith, this angel quoted ancient prophets who had foreseen this time that would come. And as Moroni stood before Smith, Smith was shown a, quote, vision, and the place where the plates were deposited. This is according to Joseph Smith's account. Every September for 4 years, Smith went to the hill Qumrah and was taught by this angel. And in September 1827, Joseph met Moroni at the hill and received the, quote, golden plates. 21 months later, having completed this translation, Joseph returned the plates to Moroni. And in 1838, Joseph Smith claimed that he was told in a revelation that the church should be called, quote, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Members of the New Testament church were called saints, which again is why Mormons call themselves Latter-day Saints. And I could go now, according to what we've researched here, Mormonism has four written books. Let me say that again. They have four written books, and here they are. Quote, the Book of Mormon, which is called, listen to this, Another Testament of Jesus Christ. Now, guys, again, let me go back up here. I've got to go back up. This is incredible. Listen what Paul said. If If he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which we have not received, or if a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may as well accept it or put up with it. You may put up with it. Listen to this, Galatians. He said, I marvel that you turn away from the grace of Christ to a different gospel. And those who pervert the gospel. And then he says in verse 8, even if an angel from heaven preaches any other gospel to you than what we have preached. The book of Revelation says there will be curses that will come upon those who add to the words of this book. And consequently, one of the books of Mormon is called, this is unbelievable, is called Another Testament of Jesus Christ. Another one's called the Doctrine and Covenants. And then there's the Pearl of Great Price. So again, the Book of Mormon, Another Testament of Jesus Christ, Doctrine and Covenants, and the Pearl of Great Price. According to their doctrine, the LDS Church teaches and preaches that the Bible has been transmitted over the centuries and has, quote, suffered the loss of many plain and precious parts. They believe the Bible to be the Word of God as far as it's translated correctly, and that the most reliable way to measure the accuracy of any biblical passage is not by comparing different texts, T-E-X-T-S, but here we go, by comparing it with the Book of Mormon and modern day revelations from Latter-day Saints. In other words, the Bible is not the end game, the measuring rod, or the ultimate answer of authority, but it's their own writings, their own doctrine, their only book. In other words, the Bible has to be measured up to the writings of Joseph Smith, not that Joseph Smith's writings have to be measured up to the Bible. Wow. The KJV, King James Version, is the LDS Church's official English Bible, though it has been footnoted in a way that interprets the meaning to be compliant to their doctrine. In other words, you better get ready, because when they show up at your door, they're going to quote scripture to you. They're going to open up the King James Bible and they're going to quote passages of scripture. The LDS Church subscribes to the doctrine of continual revelation. In other words, the Bible is not enough. It's not the ultimate word of authority, but they subscribe to or ascribe to what is called continual revelation. Now, guys, I hear people right now, oh, amen, preacher, hallelujah, and they're shouting me down because they're in agreement with me, but now I'm going to ruffle your feathers. This is where I have a problem with a lot of charismatic Pentecostals, by the way, which many of you can define me as one. But here's a problem I have with a lot of charismatic Pentecostals. They ascribe to continual revelation. Let me explain what I'm talking about. Listen, God is always giving us fresh revelation, but he's not giving new revelation. Oh, somebody needs to tweet that out. Let me read that again. Let me say that again. God is always pouring out or giving fresh revelation, but he's not giving us new revelation. Let me explain what I'm saying. If any preacher, evangelist, apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor gets up behind the pulpit and says, I've got a new revelation from God, and they get up and they tell you things that are not found in the written word of God, then, hello, it is not of God. Let me say that again. If any man or woman gets up behind a pulpit, behind a camera, on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, whatever, They get up and they say and they declare and they claim that God has given them a new revelation. And when they open their mouth and proclaim this new revelation, if it contradicts the written word of God, then listen to me, it is a corrupt leaven. It came from a source that is not of God. I don't care if an angel showed up in their bedroom. I don't care if a prophet showed up to them. I don't care if they got a dream. I don't care if they had a revelation. I don't care if they had a vision. Because my Bible says that there's going to be dreamers in the last days. There's going to be false prophets in the last days. There's going to be false apostles in the last days. And it says there's going to be even angels that are going to show up and they're going to preach and teach and they're going to reveal false doctrines and they're going to lead people astray. My God, even the word of God says that Satan himself will appear as an angel of light. So we got a lot of charismatic Pentecostals that get hung up on this. The Bible is not enough to them. So they're running after and they're chasing after and experience. I'm taking the governor switch off and I'm going to go full throttle and I'm going to open up and I'm going to preach my mind today because I hold back a lot of times, but I really feel like the Holy Spirit is telling me to go and I'm going to say what I feel today. And if it offends you, listen, you can unsubscribe, you can unfollow. I don't really care. But the danger of what we're seeing in the charismatic Pentecostal church today is the Bible is not enough. So people are seeking and they're chasing after experiences. They're chasing after signs and wonders. Well, I don't see nothing wrong with signs and wonders. I don't either, brother. But here's the thing. My Bible says that signs and wonders will follow the preaching of the gospel, not us follow after and chase after signs and wonders. Because here's the problem. Because listen, if it's a sign and wonder that is of God, it's going to line up with the word of God. But if you're chasing a sign and wonder that has no basis and foundation in the word of God, friends, you could be chasing a counterfeit miracle. You could be deceived by demons and not even realize it. Listen, I'm telling you, the devil can speak in false tongues. And Paul warned in Thessalonians that the time would come when the false prophet's going to show up on the scene, and he's going to perform lying signs and wonders to deceive even the elect if it were possible. So you can send me all the hate mail and the emails and the messages you want. But I'm telling you, we have lost so many people in the body of Christ because somebody got up and said, well, I went to this service and everybody got gold fillings in their mouth or feathers fell from heaven or there was gold dust everywhere. And then I ask them and then they get really mad when I ask them this, how many people got saved? How many people got delivered? What was the message? Was there a preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Was Jesus Christ lifted up? And almost every one of them would say, well, I can't really remember that. Well, I don't think there was any preaching at all, brother, as far as I can remember. I don't think they opened the Bible. Then I've got a real problem with that. Let me let this be known. Listen, Ricky Scapero of End Time Headlines has no problem with signs, wonders, and miracles. I don't have problems with limbs growing out. I don't have problems with creative miracles. I don't have problems with blind eyes open and deaf ears open and the lame walking. There's a reference to that. There's a point of reference to that in the Bible. And Jesus said, if you believe in me, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens your mortal body and you will do likewise. And greater shall you do. So I'm not against that. But what I am against, guys, is new revelations that don't line up with the written revelation. People chasing, running conference junkies, running from conference to conference to conference. Listen, We don't need any more conferences of people glorifying themselves, getting up behind platforms and promoting their latest book, promoting their latest merchandise, merchandising the gospel and promoting themselves. And he said, well, man, you sound like you're flustered. I am. Listen, I'm sick of the word revival. It makes me want to puke. I can't believe you're saying it. Listen, the word revival is not even in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible is the word revival. The word refreshing is in the Bible in Acts chapter 3. And by the way, it's contingent upon repentance. Repent, therefore, that your sins may be blotted out and that refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So, but we got a lot of people. Listen, I said this yesterday. I had a conversation with a group of people. I said, what kind of a sad indictment is it speaking of you if your whole life is chasing revival? I've got to have a revival. I need another revival. That is an indictment of your own personal walk with Jesus Christ. Listen, if my walk is so shallow that I'm constantly thriving and chasing after revival, then that tells me, that's testifying that I don't even have a real strong relationship with Christ. Because the word revival stems from the word revive. It's to revive something that is dead. It's a picture of taking paddles out in an emergency room and someone has collapsed and they need to be resuscitated. It's sad that the church has constantly had to be resuscitated. So we have to have the latest preacher to get up and resuscitate us. We got to have a new Christian song to resuscitate us. We got to have another conference to resuscitate us. And guys, listen, I'm still on my message. If we're dry and barren and have no personal relationship with God, we're not in the Word, not in His presence, and we're not stewarding that personal devotional, that private devotional time, then we are susceptible to any leaven that comes along. Because listen, I'm going to tell you, you know who are the most prime to being a recipient of false doctrine? It's the people that are hurt, people that have been wounded, people that have been let down, and people, come on, that are dry and barren. Because they're grasping at straws. Whatever makes them feel good, whatever makes them happy, whatever makes me emotional. Listen, let's get back to this. LDS, Latter-day Saints, Mormonism. According to their doctrine, everything in the universe, including God, is ultimately governed by eternal transcendent laws and principles. In LDS teaching, all the Father's children, including humans, possess the same potential to become gods, little g. Like the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost, since they are of the same species, every human spirit once existed as divine intelligence before becoming the spirit children of the Father, according to LDS. And by the way, let me read this. Mormons also believe in a, quote, universal salvation for everyone from death. But after the body is reunited with spirit, humans go to a different place. And I could get into their whole doctrine of celestial glory, terrestrial glory, telestial, hell, but I'm not going to go into all this. But some of this stuff, guys, has crept into the church. And we just welcome it in. We just accept it. Why? Let me go back up here. Here's why. Ready? Let me go back to the scripture. Paul said, I marvel. I'm perplexed. I'm bewildered. I am blown away. This is what Paul said. I absolutely cannot believe that the church is turning away so soon from Him, Jesus Christ, who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. He even wrote in somewhere where he says, someone has bewitched you. And he talks about that the simplicity of Christ is not enough. And this is where we're at today. This is where we're at today. Again, what am I talking about? I'm talking about false doctrines, leavens that are working. Listen, we don't even have to go to them. They're coming down the street, walking up our steps, ringing our doorbell, knocking on our doors, and we're saying, come on in. And our children are being susceptible to this. Babes in Christ are being exposed to this. When as the priest of the home, John said, if they come to you, I don't care how good, ladies, I've seen some of these LDS guys and these Jehovah's Witnesses, clean shaven guys, nice haircuts, well-dressed. I'm telling you, they're like, oh, he looks like a nice looking guy. What could be wrong? Let me let him in. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him, listen what John says. I didn't say this. John said this. He who greets him, what does it mean by greet him? Welcome him. Partake, eat of his bread. Here, brother, can we talk to you for a few minutes about what we believe? Here's our pamphlet. Oh, thank you. Let me have a slice of that bread. And then I'm going to open it up and I'm going to begin to share it with my children. Let me cut a little bit of piece off for you and a little bit of piece for here. And before you know it, because they're not rooted and grounded in truth, they've got seeds of false doctrine growing on the inside of them, in their spirit, corrupting them, corrupting their minds. How do you think secular education is so effective? They're not stupid. They know. Every time our kids that go to public schools, they're just sowing the seeds, throwing the seeds of leaven. He says, if we greet them and allow them in, we are sharing of their evil deeds. So listen, this is where I want to close today. I know this has been a little bit different, but I'm telling you, this is going to help somebody. Because listen, well, I don't want to be rude. Who cares? Be rude for a minute. Listen, they've come to me before and said, we want to share with you, you know, about Jehovah's Witnesses, blah, blah, blah. And I said, listen, I already know Jehovah, but thanks, but no thanks. And I put my hand out. I said, I have a relationship with Christ and I'm good. Thanks anyway. And they turn around and they leave. On the other hand, I've had some pouring down rain, stand on my front porch with the Bible open. And they got a little bit more sly, and I opened the door. They rang on the doorbell. I opened the door, and they said, good morning, brother. We would like to speak to you out of the Bible, out of the book of Ezekiel. Listen, they've got boldness. Can I say this? They're probably more bold than most Christians. You can't get half Christians to go witness to anybody on the streets or knock on doors or anything. I will give them that. They got zeal without knowledge. The Bible talks about that, zeal without knowledge. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. We want to pray for some folks today. Maybe you're watching this today and you are guilty of allowing this leaven to come into your home. And we want to pray for you. We want to pray that, and you say, well, what can I do? Listen, we're going to pray over your mind. We're going to pray over your spirit. And then we're going to tell you what you need to do. Number two, we want to equip you beforehand. And number three, there may be somebody, there may be one person out there watching this on YouTube, on Facebook, or listening to my podcast. And maybe you this has went beyond a seed. I mean, this is a full product of false doctrine. You're walking in false doctrine. You yourself are Mormon, or you're Jehovah's Witness. And what we've shared with you today, sharing the word of God with you, has opened your eyes. It's quickened your spirit. And we're going to pray that God delivers you and sets you free today. So here we go, guys. Let's get started on this. So let's pray this thing. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up every individual under the sound of our voice today that are watching this today, that are listening to us today. Lord, if there's anybody today, and Lord, they may say that they are guilty of allowing this to come into their home. Lord, we just repent. We repent before you today. We confess that before you today. And Lord, we cut it off today. We cut off false doctrine today. As the priest of the home, the man of the home, the woman of the home, the priest, the high priest of whatever our family unit looks like, as the high priest, the one who's responsible, the doorkeeper of our family and what allows to come in and what comes out. Lord, I ask that you would give us boldness and give us strength today. That, Lord, help us to be rooted and grounded in the word, that we're not blown by every wind of leaven doctrine that comes our way, that we can make our face like flint, and that we can resist and walk in truth. The Bible says, no greater joy that I have than that my children walk in truth. And Lord, we're asking that people begin to walk in truth today. And Lord, if there's anybody today, if there's even one person today that has been succumbed to false doctrine, this corrupted leaven, and they themselves identify as one of these two major false religions that we're talking about today, and they want to be set free. They want to come out from among them and be separate. And they want to renounce this today. Lord, I'm praying for the grace of the Holy Spirit to invade their home right now. Go through that camera today, right now. Listen, if you're watching today and you fall in that category, I want to pray specifically for you today. I'm going to pray as if, listen, what am I doing? I'm leading by example. I'm going to pray as if I am involved in one of these false religions. And I want you just to pray with me today. Father, I come to you today and I acknowledge that I'm not walking according to what the word of God says. I acknowledge that I have strayed. I acknowledge that I have partaken of corrupted leaven and false doctrine. Lord, that I'm being led astray by a false religion that's based upon man's precepts, man's conceptions, or even demonic in origin. And today I renounce it. In the name of Jesus, I renounce their doctrine. I renounce their testaments. I renounce their teachings. I renounce the false prophets that are leading, directing, and founded them. I renounce the church of these false religions. And I step out today in faith, leaving that behind and pressing towards the true church of Jesus Christ, which is the ecclesia, the church that is blood bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, who was crucified, dead, buried, and rose again, who was God in the flesh, suffered in all points as you and I, was tempted in all points as you and I, but was without sin. Was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, and in this last time has been made manifest, that God himself has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, who, according to John, said was dwelling with him in the beginning, who was the Word. God was the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. He was the light of the world and the life of men. And Lord, Today, we receive Yeshua, Jesus Christ, Him and Him alone as our Lord and Savior. We repent of doing things our own way or the wrong way, and we accept You today as Lord and Savior, and we acknowledge and testify today that there is no other name given under heaven into which we must be saved. We are not saved by works. We are not saved by laws and regulations and rules and conduct. We are saved by the free gift, the gift. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And we accept it today. We accept You, Jesus, today. We love You today, Jesus. We acknowledge, You said that those who come to You and believe this, You said, we are now sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. Lord, guide us today. Help us to get plugged into a Bible-believing, sound, doctrinally sound church so that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of You, Lord. Help us to be surrounded with brothers and sisters that are like-minded, that's going to exhort us, that's going to equip us, that's going to edify us, that's iron sharpening iron. Help us to pick up a Bible, read it, believe it, and obey it, and see God Himself manifest through our lives. And we thank You today, and we praise You today, and it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Listen, guys, if you prayed any of this today, the Bible says that if you'll pray and believe what you shall say, that you shall have soever whatsoever you pray according to His will. This is according to the will of God. This is the will of the Father, that you walk in truth, walking in relationship with Him today. So we celebrate that today. The Bible says that all of heaven rejoices over one sinner that repents. Listen, we want to give you some information on how to stay up to date with our ministry. Real quick, real easy to do. Go to, if you've got an Android device in your hand, or if you've got an Apple device in your hand, once this broadcast is over, go to the Apple store or the Android store, wherever it is, depending on what your device is. Type in End Time Headlines, download our free app, get it into your hands. Subscribe to push notifications. It'll say, would you like push notifications from End Time Headlines? Click on or click yes. Get those push notifications. You're going to be notified of all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. You're going to get, you're going to be up to date with all of our podcasts, our YouTube. You'll be able to watch or listen to all of our messages right there in your hands, at your fingertips, with the free app. It's free. It does not take up a lot of space of memory, RAM, or any of that. So please do that today if you've not yet done that. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. If this ministry is a blessing to you, if this message has been a blessing to you, if it's helped you, equipped you, edified you on a weekly basis, we want to give you the opportunity to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. If the Lord speaks to your heart, we want to give you the opportunity to partner with us. You can be a monthly partner, or you can give according to the Spirit, as the Spirit leads you. We want to give you the opportunity. You could do that by electronic giving, by the app right there at the bottom to the right, or go to the main website and click on donate, and you can give electronically. Or if you wish to give by check or money order, you can do that by making it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. And again, that's Monroe, Georgia 30655. So as always, guys, we thank you for taking the time out today on this Monday afternoon to be a part of our broadcast. Again, as always, we're going to be signing off for today. We'll take off tomorrow, and we'll be back on Wednesday for another message, whether it be a prophetic update or another exhorting message like today. So until then, guys, God bless you. May the Lord keep you. May His countenance be upon you, in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.